So can you tell us a bit about your open letter to Chief Justice Helen Winkleman?
So I research and write about systemic responses to family violence and in particular child abuse. And when I came to New Zealand about 6 years ago, I contacted the Judicial Institute to ask for copies of the family court bench books that relate to child custody and that relate to like protection orders and things under the Family Violence Act. And I was very shocked to discover that in New Zealand, the bench books are not publicly available. They're not even available to researchers or journalists on request. And the reason that I was surprised is because Aotearoa New Zealand is a huge outlier internationally on that. For the last maybe 25 or 30 years, there's been a huge push globally to create bench books, particularly in the developing world. And it is the norm internationally for bench books to be publicly available. They are a very expensive taxpayer-funded resource, and so in the rest of the world, they are largely distributed as widely as possible to improve the practice of lawyers in the court so that they're open to scrutiny to researchers and to the public, and so that litigants can understand how court decisions are made. So in the open letter, my colleagues and I actually list out a list of various bench books that we possess. So I have bench books from the United States. I have bench books from the UK, from Canada, from Australia. I have bench books from Tanzania and Albania and Bosnia on the hard drive of my computer. But as a researcher at the University of Auckland, I can't access the bench books in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And so I'm very concerned about why these sort of taxpayer resources are being kept so tightly held, why they're secret, what the process is by which they're made, who feeds into their content, who regulates their content. A secret bench book is, for all intents and purposes, an ex parte communication to judges that informs their decision making. Whoever gets information in that bench book gets information to a judge that can affect their decision making, and the parties to a case have no way to see what the information is, to see what its source is, or to challenge it if it's incorrect. And so I'm concerned about a country who feeds training information and reference information to its trial judges through a secret process that doesn't have outside scrutiny and accountability, and that doesn't allow parties who might be affected by that information to challenge it if it's inaccurate or outdated.
Why do you think that the New Zealand Family Court is so secretive about its bench books?
It's not just the family court. So none of the bench books in New Zealand are publicly available. And a few years ago, some criminal defense lawyers actually tried, they even brought a judicial review action to the high court, trying to get a copy of the criminal jury direction bench book. And the higher court's review of the case itself was kind of disturbing, because what the higher courts have said is, well, we don't really keep our bench books up to date. They're not well-funded. They're not well-resourced. They contain a lot of misleading information, and so it would be unhelpful to release them to lawyers more generally. But that just sort of begs the question to me of, why are we promulgating bench books that are outdated and aren't up to date? And the higher courts were very blasé about, well, judges can handle the misinformation. They'll know what's up to date, and they'll know what's inaccurate, but it would be misleading to release them more broadly. So at least if the higher courts in New Zealand are to be believed, our bench books are hopelessly out of date, and that's why we keep them secret. But that's not really a reason to keep them secret. That's a reason either to update them or to stop giving them to judges. And I think the idea that trial judges are impervious to outdated information or impervious to inaccurate bench books is a pretty indefensible assumption. So it's not just the family court. It's that the Judicial Institute in New Zealand does not publicly release its bench books. And I mean, I'm old enough to have practiced law when bench books were books, when judges actually wheeled them in on a little carrel behind their benches when they took the bench. I used to have physical copies of bench books when I was a lawyer. But these days, these are online. They're beautiful online manuals for the most part. Like the Australian bench books have clickable hyperlinks. So everything they cite, they'll take you to the webpage of the journal if you want to download the article they're talking about yourself. I mean, these are really amazing resources. And it's kind of inexplicable to me that they're kept secret and not made publicly available. And in fact, in the preamble to the Australian Family Violence Bench Book, they specifically say, this is an enormously important collection of information. It's really important that police and probation officers and lawyers and advocates have access to this, because it's the most up-to-date information that we have. So it's not just the family court. It's none of the bench books are publicly available, and judges have refused to order them disclosed, even in cases where there seems to be a pretty compelling need for them to be released to a party.
You mentioned that there was a 2018 UN committee review that criticized New Zealand's family court for having outdated practices. Since that review, have you observed any changes or improvements in the family court practices?
No, and actually there's been a new. So now the United Nations Special Rapporteur for Violence Against Women and Girls issued a new scathing thematic report in 2023. It was global in nature, but it specifically talked about Aotearoa New Zealand in several passages. And there was a passage in particular in the 2023 report that talks about the ongoing use of these sort of junk science concepts, what the United Nations Special Rapporteur calls pseudo concepts, stemming from this really old, outdated theory of what used to be known as parental alienation, although today it kind of goes by other pseudoscientific names. But one of the reasons I'm particularly concerned about the family court bench books is that I've had several colleagues and myself who have kind of persistently tried to get copies of these bench books. And about a year ago, I saw an email from the Judicial Institute who would not turn over the bench book, but confirming that one of the family court bench books, I think it was the Care of Children Act bench book, contains information relating to this old junk science construct of parental alienation. They call it something different now. They call it the resist and refuse dynamic. But I have confirmation from the Judicial Institute that these bench books contain this old junk science construct of the resist and refuse dynamic. And earlier this year, the 2023, the really scathing human rights report out of the UN, specifically talked about New Zealand's ongoing use of this so-called resist and refuse dynamic and how it like silences children who disclose abuse and how it constitutes essentially gender discrimination, masquerading as junk science. So it is my understanding that our family court bench books contain this really dangerous junk science that, yes, in 2018, in our country-specific report under the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, got the United Nations Human Rights Committee so upset, they've actually asked twice in the last 5 years that New Zealand specifically hold a Royal Commission of Inquiry into our family court's treatment of women and children who've experienced violence. And now it is my understanding through these emails from the Judicial Institute that our judges are continuing to be trained in that junk science. And certainly the judgments in the family court coming out of the family court do not reflect any improvement. I think if anything, these junk science concepts have become more entrenched in the family court, which if in fact they're being trained in the bench book to deploy these kind of dangerous junk science constructs, that would go a long way to explaining why the court has not reformed its practices, even in the wake of such kind of universal international condemnation of their practices. And this is one of the huge concerns I have about our secret bench books is I'm worried that not only is junk being fed into our bench books and therefore being fed to our family court judges, but I'm worried it's being fed in by people with a financial stake in the court's decision-making. Because one of the things that parental alienation has done is it has taken really simple cases and turned them into 10-year, you know, million-dollar litigation battles. They're horrifyingly damaging for kids. They're really risky for victims, but they're incredibly lucrative for all of the private consultants who sort of get brought into these cases. The parental alienation theory turns simple cases into complex cases. And complex cases are really lucrative. And I can tell you that I've seen training materials for judges and lawyers in the court prepared by people who sell their services to the court. I mean, they're like promotional materials, marketing materials. I actually have a big study coming out next year where one of the things the court will often do in its judgments is cite marketing materials from like American paid expert witnesses as if they're somehow social science evidence. So it's very clear that people with a financial stake in labeling these kids because they want contracts to evaluate these kids and they want contracts to quote-unquote treat these kids do feed training materials into courts, certainly internationally. And so I'm really worried that there are like marketing materials making their way into our bench books because they're not subject to outside scrutiny, right? Where scholars who have no financial stake in the court could step in and say, that's not a peer-reviewed journal. Like, that's not an academic researcher. That's like R.J. Reynolds promising that smoking doesn't cause cancer.
So we're coming up to the end of the interview. Is there anything you'd like to sign off with or perhaps say to the New Zealand judiciary?
Yeah, I mean, I would sort of reiterate the call in the open letter to Chief Justice Lynn Kelman, because she is the head of the Judicial Institute, to make these bench books immediately publicly available. Either they are wonderful, rich resources full of evidence-based information, in which case, for the taxpayers of New Zealand, let's get the most use out of them and share them broadly. Or they contain misinformation, in which case we should not be feeding secret misinformation to our judges and sort of hoping they can tell the difference when people don't have an ability to scrutinize or respond to what's in there. It is just a part of an open justice system that judicial training materials like bench books be publicly accessible.